Welcome. You've entered the House of Neshama, hosted by myself, Isa Biza.
And me, Aria Rachel.
So what are we doing here? The House of Neshama podcast is a place where we muse over Jewish culture, rituals, and humor.
Kvetch about the complications of our own Jewish identities.
Yes, and we do so in hopes of sparking necessary conversations and reflections with other Jews across the diaspora.
In other words, you can consider this podcast the matzo ball soup for the wandering Jewish soul.
And in the soup today, we dive into being Jewish
on the internet.
Yes, very meta, since House of Neshama mainly lives online.
This is true. So you will hear us reflect on which platforms we felt more or less comfortable expressing our authentic Jewish selves on.
Whether it's posting Shabbat candles every Friday for the gram, leaving cryptic notes in Hebrew on Snapchat,
or simply reminding all of your non-Jewish Facebook friends what you'll be up to during Christmas Day.
These are some of the many ways we've come out as Jewish on the internet. At times, it may be fleeting moments, other times etched into a permanent archive.
And occasionally, you may just find a bit of Jewphoria along the way. So please stick around for all of that and more after the break.
Back.
Hello, Isa.
Hello.
Happy it's not Wednesday.
Happy Thursday.
Yes, as I like to call it, Friday Eve, because it's a day worth celebrating, yes, you know?
That's so mind, like, it's so trippy. I need to get used to that, but it's so true. You're like, yes, I can pull through.
Exactly. Like, you know, like Friday's special because it's the, you know, because it's Shabbat. So I just needed to feel something on a Thursday. And it really changed the way I feel, you know, closing up the week.
So what we are going to talk about today, and as we,
yes,
as like we usually release things on social media, we thought it would be really cool to talk about how we as Jews use social media.
Being Jewish on the internet.
I feel like this is very, like, millennial or, like, Generation Z of us. But, like, we use social media every day. I mean, I use it for work. This is, like, a part of our life. And, like, honestly, it's not good, but also, like, it connects so many people. So, do you want to start us off?
Sure. Well, starting with you, Isa, like, specific platforms that you find yourself being more or less Jewish on. I know we've talked about Snapchat for you.
So, in terms of being Jewish, like, I think that I show myself as Jewish kind of with the holidays that I celebrate, and I think that that has been on Snapchat or Instagram. But honestly, it's just very comfortable to post on Snapchat. Like, there's like filters, there's like text. One time I even like wrote kind of like a question. I was like, what does this mean? And I wrote something in Hebrew.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I wrote, can any of you, even to my non-Jewish friends who are on my Snapchat, I'll give you something, whatever, kiss, whatever, if you can like find out what this says, right? No one answered except the Jewish people.
Of course.
I mean, I was just like hoping people would like be able to kind of look it up or just put some effort,
like have a curiosity about it.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to go for. Hebrew has been something that, like, you know, we kind of learn, and like personally, you know, I know some Hebrew, but it's a skill that I have, and I feel like it's kind of like a secret power sometimes, because, like, you know, we can write things on social media, we can put, you know, you can write a word in Hebrew, and like,
yeah,
in Snapchat you can put like a little pencil, you can do scripture or whatever. I guess the biggest thing about Snapchat is that, like, I was showing myself as Jewish and, you know, not necessarily like showing myself on other platforms like Facebook or whatever. So
yeah, totally.
But I don't know, what kind of social media do you tend to go on?
So for me, where I'm like maybe expressing my Jewishness, it kind of changed, I think, depending on my age. So middle school Amanda making
these
Jewish jokes around Christmas time. Or I would quote from like the SNL sketch where they say like it's Christmas time for the Jews. The joke is that it's giving you insight about all the things that we are up to during Christmas Day. So I always loved reminding everyone on my Facebook wall, you know, like,
yes,
like, hey, guess what I'll be doing on Christmas? Haha, I'm going to the movies.
The movies and Chinese food.
So I would always just, like, every year made it a point to let everyone know.
I love that.
I don't know how much more beyond that, but those were my little moments. And then on Instagram, you know, probably after I graduated from college, it became something that was a lot more expressive, or giving people context about what things mean, or simply showing them rituals. I think a lot of these things were very private, or they just really weren't happening in my life. So I, you know, like Shabbat. But during the pandemic, it felt very grounding to remind people that there's rituals, whether, you know, you're Jewish or you have another tradition or ritual that you embrace. It was nice to show it in this public moment, because I also, like, it was me expressing my identity, but also I was reminding everyone to pause, which I appreciate when other accounts reminded me to pause. So I kind of thought it was a nice way to bridge my offline with my online life.
And for me, and I've definitely got out of my comfort zone in posting about how I'm Jewish, because people don't often think that I am Jewish.
Right.
So it's kind of like when I post, it's literally like going against what people think.
Yeah.
You know, I'm posting, I'm like, happy Hanukkah. They're like, she just really loves different cultures or something like that. But then when I post about a bat mitzvah, it's like, oh.
This is serious.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's like general, like we've talked about this. I feel like posting, it's for joy, but it's also to show that like I'm here. And like, that's what I was asking you, if you feel like when you post something, you're like thinking about if it's political or not. Or,
oh, for always. Yeah.
Or if it's like showing your identity, or if it's not, you know, it, some people have different feelings toward it. And like going back to like photos that counter that narrative,
it's a reminder.
Yeah.
I think it's everything. I think that there's moments where it's Jewish joy in and of itself, you know, that is tied up in politics, that is tied up in representation and identity, because so often people only see Jewish trauma represented, or they only maybe hear me talk about Jewish stuff if I get more views on something because it's about like a charged anti-Semitic event. I mean, there's a lot of times I hold my tongue if I think that I'm not able to have a long form conversation. That's also the thing. Instagram is, it's really meant to be a visual medium. That was the point of it. It was to share photographs.
So true.
Yeah. So it's actually the worst place for nuance, for multifaceted conversations, for all the things that I think that I really actually want to do, and whether it's with other Jews or Jews to non-Jews, you know, I think what I could do really well is honor the beauty. I could promote other people. I love that. I think that's my favorite part about the House of Neshama page, is that it's allowed me to all of a sudden find these other Jewish creators. And then it's as simple as finding things I admire about them, and then I share it. And then I'm able to sprinkle that into my, you know, my personal page, which feels important too, because how else will my following know about these people if they're not in this like Jewish creative network? I have a few like really good friends who always share our stuff, and it always means so much, because I do think about that. I'm like, oh, it's interesting, like when people may be more hesitant or like scared to participate or to want to promote us, because they just don't know what it means, or who knows, you know?
They don't know if it's politically charged or not.
And it may not be.
That's what I'm saying. It's not political.
That's where, even if me and you, right, like we might be wanting to share something that is meant to just show like this is a tradition, this is a Jewish whatever, whatever. Like, depending on how people want to tear it apart without context, who knows what they'll do with it? I think that's a huge piece of being Jewish on the internet. You know, you're not doing it without, you know, people who may end up in your DMs harassing you. Thankfully, I haven't experienced too much of that, but there's a reason why I'm not very Jewish, quote unquote, on my Facebook page. And I guess for me, I'm more protective in that online space. And I'm not even on Twitter because I am horrified of what I only hear what happens on like Twitter. So,
but there is a Jewish Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. But again, niche, like sometimes we get into this and we're like, this is everything. This is so real. And then we're like, oh, actually, wait, this is like its own little world. So
like the way you put that just clicked for me, because that's why it's like, that's usually when people hear from me on my personal page, when there's outrageous, like something outrageous happened in the Jewish community. I don't know. because I literally am so aware that majority of my followers will not know any of this even exists. Meanwhile, all over Jewish Instagram, everyone's freaking out about it.
Hi everyone, just a friendly reminder that we now have a newsletter. So if you would like kosher love notes sent from our neshama, full of tasty spillover from our episodes and all sorts of Jewish musings, please see our show description below or visit our link tree via Insta. All right, back to the episode.
So, Issa, back to before, you know, you were talking about being Jewish on Snapchat, and something that I think was really, that really stood out to me was that it was like a more indirect way of sharing these like personal aspects of your Jewish identity or Jewish holidays. I guess I'm wondering, what sorts of things do you want your friends to know about, or just that you maybe wish they inquired about for you?
Well, I kind of wish if they asked about the holidays I celebrate. I wish if they like asked me about my identity.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what is that? What is that in the filter? Can you explain, like, what is that plate with all the little symbols and the food? Right.
With the egg on it. Like, what's going on there? Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's cool. Or, like, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe not. Or just reacting to it. And I do have this one friend who does react to it. And shout out to you, Edgar.
Oh.
Saldana, who always is like, hey, happy Passover. Or just, like, you know. And yeah. Yes, he is religious. Not Jewish, but I that means so much.
Yeah.
It's definitely like, I want them to ask me exactly like how it's relevant to me, or if they want to keep it superficial, be like, oh, like happy, whatever.
Right. Just like as simple as just wishing you well, if it's your holiday. Yes. I mean, honestly, that always means a lot to me too, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, but I'm wondering though, like, why this medium? Do you still get like satisfaction or joy out of doing it this way?
I still get satisfaction. It's like I've been, but it's also, I've gotten so used to being a little sneaky about it. Like, I'm like, I'll put this little innuendo here. I'll put this little tease in here. I'll put, like I said before, the Hebrew letters. Can you answer this? I don't even say it's Hebrew. Can you answer that? I just put these letters. I'm like, guess it.
Just these like cryptic signs, yes, that you might, may or may not be Jewish. I don't know.
And it could, it's very Jewish, because it's like, you know, and again, it's like the cynicism, or just like the, oh, you'll find out, you know, or whatever. But I mean, the upside to it is that, you know, it's more than nothing. Yeah. And I think that before, I would not really do as much. And it all, honestly, because, you know, like, I grew up around not many Jewish people, but more than I did when I was in college. So
yeah.
In college, I felt like there was no Jewish people where I was. And so, it really wasn't until I met you and that I found, I was like, oh my God, she's Jewish.
Wow.
And yeah, so and this whole social media world opened up to me, especially after I started going to conferences and like doing more activism. Again, like, we added each other on Instagram and they added me to all their forums. And again, Facebook forums are like, there's definitely Jewish Facebook forums and everything.
For sure.
And you're just forever connected that way. I mean, I don't know if they're like, they should be strong connections. I think because you can always keep tabs on people and see, you're like, hey, like, do you want to collaborate on this project? Like you said before, like, you're connecting with other people that, like, kind of, your experiences are not completely shared, but, like, you know, you have an understanding that you're, like, coming together on, like, something that is a value to you that might be niche in terms of other people's minds, but it's not niche in your mind.
It's, like, our world. Yeah. It's an identity. It's so deep. And well, you brought up a couple of things, you know, questioning these online connections, like, how strong are they?
Yes.
That's definitely a dilemma I deal with in general as a person who wants to try my best to use these social media tools, right, to cultivate community and to also, like, be vulnerable and to see how we could actually be connected. And, you know, of course, there's limitations. So that's where I think that I've had this like love-hate relationship with being Jewish on the internet, because I'm giving people one version of myself and maybe even a form of my Judaism, right? Like someone sees those Shabbos candles, but like, you know, my most favorite Shabbat moments are the ones where I'm not posting because I'm actually with people. And for so long during the pandemic, I was doing it all alone. And so social media was a way to feel connected because other people might have been alone lighting their candles too. And it's kind of like a way of like signaling to each other, like, I see you and we're going to make it through this night. We're going to make it through. Like, it's, I have chills even thinking about what it means. It kind of reminds me, it's like a thing where the reason why you hear birds chirp in the morning to each other is that they're all letting each other know they survived. They made it through the night. And you just hear it as, oh, it's this beautiful thing. So people on the outside looking at like even those candles, they probably don't know what it means. Or they're just like, oh, cool. She's doing it again every Friday. Here it is on her Instagram.
She's so spiritual.
Or people are like, oh, she must be so religious now. And it's like, no one knows what it means. The fact that I haven't been in a temple in so long or like how it feels to actually interact with my Judaism in offline spaces, like none of so none of that can happen. Even if I'm doing things like using my Hebrew name online, that doesn't mean I'm able to articulate, you know, and like navigate that very smoothly offline at all.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Like, what I mean, like, again, these are all assumptions, and you have to remind yourself that it's amazing, but also, like, you know, you have to keep yourself grounded in the way that you are and not get sucked up into, like, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is the way I'm supposed to, come across as when, like, I think authenticity is super important.
Yeah.
And, like, not looking too much into it. Like, I've been doing, like, I mean, you know, like, it's like, I post this every weekend, but do I have to post it this weekend? It's like, I don't have to.
It was kind of weird when I stopped. I broke my streak because I kind of felt this obligation, you know, at least on the House of Neshama page, that like I would show up right before everyone, you know, unplugs. Because that's the point of Shabbat too, ironically, right? As like I'm using a I'm literally using a tool that I'm supposed to stay away from as a way of observing, which that got really complicated for me. And I want to, I guess, find that balance, which I think a lot of Jews, depending on different levels of observance, you know, like, I think everyone's trying to strike that balance. Some things are too sacred to, like, maybe even put in this space. And I kind of like when people make jokes about that. They're just like, you know what? I'm keeping this one to myself. The Instagram world, like, you don't get to take this from me. Like, I think I have a push and pull with that on my personal account. Because I think sometimes I'm, like, enjoying people getting to witness this aspect of myself. But then sometimes I don't know. It's like, no, this belongs to me. And it doesn't need to be consumed by anyone.
So, Arielle.
Yes.
One of the cool things about this whole process in House of Neshama is that we have these, like, personas where, like, you know, I mean, we are us, but we're also, again, like, presenting ourselves as our social media selves.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that we can have these names. We can have these usernames. And one thing that you've had the opportunity to do is put your Hebrew name on there, not only like in the way that we write our names in English, but also like in the Hebrew lettering. I was wondering if that was like one of the first times you did that, or is there a time before you did that, or has it mostly been on Instagram? And maybe you can like talk about your experience with that.
Totally. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I took it as an opportunity, right? Because we're reintroducing ourselves in a way, you know. It was kind of like a fresh slate, even though I can't escape it. Like, Amanda Peckler is associated with so many people in my life, so many even projects. If you Google me, my professional self is Amanda Peckler. Like, you know, it was a thing where whenever I was going to do it, right? Because I was thinking about it for a while, like how my Hebrew name can just kind of show up in a less secretive way. And it felt very natural that when you are co-hosting a radio show or podcast, you already, you know, you pick a DJ name or an artist name when you're doing different projects. So I think people are kind of used to maybe seeing someone with multiple ways of identifying in that way. So I kind of took the leap and I'm like, you know what? Yes. Like when I meet people, you know, new connections through our platform, that I didn't know how that would feel, but it feels awesome that it's not even a question. Like, I am Ariel. There's no confusion. And I do find some joy, even though it's still kind of, I think, confusing for everyone involved, from people who know me. And all of a sudden, they're like, wait, who's Ariel?
Who is she?
So there's moments like that that I know are going to continue. Like, I had a mentor of mine. If she's listening, shout out to Sarah Friedland. But she actually asked me, do I want to be called by my Hebrew name? And it was funny. We were like in a grocery store and we were kind of in a rush. I didn't get the chance to answer it. And I don't even know if I had an answer to it. But I appreciate that it pushes me to be a lot more bold or to be in those situations where I'm left with a choice. It's not that it's just like so hidden that it's not even up for conversation. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, that's really cool. Like, tell me more about that name. Or...
And people can't really avoid it. Like, I mean, it's not like you're trying to hide your other name. It's just like... Because you're professionally, but it's like, you're like, okay, you can't really get it around that. Like, it's not that like Ariel and Amanda are like different people.
From different planes. Yeah.
But they're still you. They're both you. And so, and again, you want other people to get to know that this other side of you, that's Ariel.
You know, it's also spiritual significance to that. You know, like they say our Hebrew names are the names of our souls. So when you say it out loud, like, you're calling upon your spirit, your neshama. So to hide it, you know, so what does that say when you don't say it out loud? And recently, as of like last month, someone reminded me that I should be using it more and more, and not in a way, you know, that's not just online, in a way that's authentic and feels good, you know, as I roam the earth as Ariel Rachel. So just like a shout out to anyone, I think, along my journey who specifically asked me one of my favorite questions, which is like, may I call you by your Hebrew name? That might as well be like someone writing me a love poem. That's probably one of the highest compliments and just like euphoric questions.
Euphoric questions.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Euphoria has been unlocked.
Yeah.
There it is.
Algorithm. We need to talk about that because it's like, what's relevant to people and like what's like, you know, what we can't control any of that. And in some way it's like not in our control, and that's terrifying that like you can put so much work into something like our posts. We put a lot of work, by the way, guys, like all listening, we put a lot.
If people knew how much time gets put into designing everything, and it's not even like we're in, like, there's some accounts that are like discussion heavy and they put in like intense research and sources, and they get shadow banned and they get reported by Instagram. Like, it's ridiculous, like how disrespected, like, just like Jewish scholarship, and I think just like in general, right, all that work that gets put in. And then, like, maybe no one or barely anyone actually can even see it. It's not even that they're choosing to look away from it. It's not even being shown to them.
And then you're kind of like, okay, is this even, like, matter?
Does this even matter?
But, like, at the same time, we're, like, creating, like, a library. Like, we're part of the library.
It's for the archive, people.
There's so many ways to create an archive. But, like, this way, people can go through our social media and click on different things. And, like, luckily, our content, like, I always think quality. And so, like, we do create posts that, like,
yes,
you can kind of learn about who we are and honestly how we are developing. Like, if you look at our first posts, Like, they were good too, but like, you can see it now and you're like, okay, this has like developed over the time that, like,
totally,
you know, we've been doing this.
Yeah. What I hope people hold on to and kind of remember when they are sharing in these more public ways about what it means to be Jewish, that, you know, this, it is an archive, and it, you know, even if it's not quote unquote trendy, right? Because sometimes Jews are trending and sometimes we're not, for all kinds of reasons. I think it's really beautiful that we have these records that we are reclaiming our stories on. And I think that's really pushed me to be a lot less quote unquote secretive or mysterious about what I'm working on. Because, like, the point of this stuff is that it is shared, you know? And so our page and our content has really pushed me to stop holding on. There's certain things to be precious about, right, within our Jewishness. But there's other things where it's really beautiful to share it out loud, because someone out there is going to be able to connect to both of us because we did it. We did it even if we didn't think we were ready yet.
Yeah, no, we have to release it out at some point, and it kind of like pushes us to be like, okay, that's where I am, and this is my journey, and I'm comfortable, as we've talked about, coming out as ourselves authentically. So coming out in as Jewish in, like, these spaces that either are known to us, we're comfortable in, or we're not. Sometimes you put so much thought into, like, I want to show this image of being Jewish, like, in this very controlled way. And, like, at the end of the day, I mean, it is social media, and that is important, but at the end of the day, it is freeing to be able to know that you have authentically showed yourself. It's like almost like a practice of like coming out. It, whatever way it's received, it's like there's no expectation. This is just for me.
Yeah, it's for me. And I guess I think I also want to honor that mystery where we don't always have to be so bold if you don't want to. And I think what is some of my favorite moments, I think, is the moments that I get to feel seen by someone else because they took the time to pay attention to that fleeting moment, and they actually say Shabbat. I've had people, they would start saying Shabbat Shalom, or what does that mean? Or what I'm hearing from, you know, what you shared in this episode too, Issa, people's curiosity, and when people give us permission to share, even if, you know, maybe we shouldn't be waiting for it, but it really is such a compliment. And yeah, and that's why we do it. That's why, even if we're going to sprinkle it in without telling you exactly everything, what it means to us, you know, within our hearts, within ourselves, we know what it means.
Original music composed by Marnie Lofton. You can find their original and covered music on TikTok, SoundCloud, and Instagram under the handle @singing_Jewess.